Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cody Rhodes.
The young son of Dusty Rhodes in his first match on Monday Night Raw.
Once undesirable.
For over two decades, the McMahons have hated the Rhodes.
Become undeniable.
Cody Rhodes, are you kidding me?
I choose you, Roman Reigns.
And now, undisputed Universal WWE Champion.
The story has ended. We got the good ending, lads. Hey, we bloody did it. We bloody did it. Welcome to the epilogue of Roads to WrestleMania. This is where we end our story as we look back on the final chapter, the last paragraph of the Cody Rhodes Odyssey, from that Waffle House with his dad to the main event of WrestleMania 40. I couldn't do it alone. I need Cultaholics Fraser Porter.
Oh, I'm here. I couldn't believe this weekend, Tom. I couldn't believe it.
Oh. Lights went out. Lights came back on. Who's that looking like a man about to sell me a dirty van? It's Aidan Gibbons from Cultaholic.com.
Hello. I've got a Vauxhall Corsa. I don't know about a dirty van.
So you only drive that at the weekends?
Just at the weekends.
It's a very different one.
It was me, Cody. I burned down your bus.
I knew it was you. Bloody knew it was you. We know how the story ends. You've seen it now already. But we're going to take a look and we're going to put a lovely bow on the Cody Rhodes story. A massive thank you to Cultaholic.com's tribal editor-in-chief, Aidan Gibbons, who has guided us on this particular road, the golden streets, as they became.
The golden streets.
The golden streets to the big time, to WrestleMania 40. So, this hasn't got a catchy name named after an English leader. It's just epilogue.
Well, you see, the problem that...
King Charles, the last royal.
Because the problem that we've got, right, is James II, obviously, he runs off. Then after that, it's the Glorious Revolution. But we could have called it that, but in reality, that was two episodes ago, kind of. Because there's nothing quite glorious and revolutionary about WWE.
How dare you say that in the midst of the Paul Levesque era?
Paul Levesque era.
Could you say this is the American Wars of Independence era, where WWE is moving away from its...
What it is...
It's passed into a new era.
This is our... It's our Independence Day.
There we go. Yeah. We're free of the shackles of Cody's story.
Yeah. They rode to freedom, and as dawn arose, Wesley and Buttercup knew they were safe.
A wave of love swept over them, and as they reached for each other...
Right, at this point, the grandfather stops. The grandson says, "You know what, right, I don't mind kissing now." And he continues, "Since the invention of the kiss, there have been 5 kisses that were rated the most passionate, the most pure. This one left them all behind."
The end.
And speaking of stories that have ended, Cody's finished the story. Oh,
for those who aren't aware, what Aidan Gibbons quoted there was from The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, the greatest love story ever told.
Starring Andre the Giant.
And what comes into your head when you go, Right, I need to start with the words. Speaking of endings.
But you know what's funny is that, to let you behind the curtain on this, I said this to Aiden, I think you might have been out of the room at this point, Fraser. When I was putting together the news podcast for the day after Mania Sunday, yep. I was looking for a clip from The Princess Bride. Because it felt like I wanted to find Columbo saying, and that's I don't want to tell you a story. Yeah. But he never says story. He always says books. Like, I can't use that. That's annoying. So I used Philadelphia Freedom instead. But we both went to the well of the Princess Bride.
So clearly there's somewhere in the Cody Rhodes, the Codyverse. That is the Princess Bride in stories.
It's Andre the Giant, isn't it? Yeah. Andre the Giant is the divine constant in both those stories.
That's true.
He wrestled and Dusty at some point, yep. I guess.
And he might have met Mandy Patinkin. Who knows?
Do you know what? We all wish we'd met Mandy Patinkin.
Well, speaking of endings.
Isn't Mel Smith's in that as well? Off of Smith and Jones?
I don't know.
He's in The Princess Bride.
I don't know the name of any of the cast apart from the characters. Andre and Mandy Patinkin. and like the last few players, Buttercup's really famous and in lots of really good things, but fuck knows what her name is.
You killed my father, prepared to die. Hell of a life.
Speaking of dead fathers, Cody Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes is his dad.
I know.
No! That explains why they put that picture up on Raw.
That makes sense why his last name is Rhodes. Yeah.
I thought it was a coincidence.
I thought it was a quinky dink.
I thought it was R-O-A-D-S.
Yeah. Oh, I get it now. Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the roads are dusty.
Is that...
get it now.
Oh, my God.
Blimey.
Shit.
Took five episodes.
4D checkers they're playing, I tell you what. 4D checkers. Anyway, we're at the end of the story. So where do we begin this final run, this final chapter?
So we begin it before WrestleMania 40, where we left off last week. It was confirmed. Main event night one is Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is like, I will be your shield versus The Rock in Roman Reigns. The Rock's first match since he beat Eric Rowan in like 7 seconds or whatever it was.
Fastest match in WrestleMania history.
Yeah. And by night two, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. That's the main event of night two.
But obviously the stips in the tag match, as we've talked about, it was if Rock and Roman win, then it's Bloodline rules on night two.
And if Cody and Seth won, everyone was banned from ringside.
It's not Bloodline rules,
which would still would have still allowed them to interfere.
Yeah, because The Rock is the boss.
Yeah, literally, as we'll get to, just like, we'll do whatever the fuck I want. but basically, in the run up to WrestleMania 40, Cody doing all the media rounds, going, "Hey, this guy's a top babyface," and you look at him, he's handsome. Mm-hmm. That was it all, basically. But just a little aside, he actually mentions AEW. So around this week, CM Punk, he had a big go at AEW, and that's going to lead to something. And
you know about by now, wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
Haha. Well, they really showed them.
but Cody Rhodes basically went, that's not quite my view of AEW. He's very complimentary about the company he founded. But one of the things that it came out we mentioned last week is that he's already re-signed with WWE. He's on his second or third or fourth contract, whatever he's on now.
Oh.
But for his second run, he's on his second contract now. But he said he never considered an AEW return. He said,
No, it's not in any way a negative towards them. It just, I don't know. I didn't win the title at WrestleMania 39, but I was in the spot I always dreamed of. And I know how lucky I am to be in this spot. When I see a poster and there I am front and center amongst unbelievably talented people, when I see the WWE 2K24 cover, when I see the responsibility, they didn't hand me the exact ball and say, you're the quarterback, but they certainly gave me a lot of responsibility. I feel it would have been against my being because I was slotted there. You helped put me there and now I'm making something off it and growing it beyond what you thought it could be. I wanted to keep doing that for them. It just didn't cross my mind, not in a negative way towards any other places. This is what I've enjoyed doing.
So with that tennis ball in hand, not quite a football at this point, but he's got the tennis ball, giving it a little tickle. He appears at the World at WrestleMania.
Why is he Pete Sampras?
I don't know. He just is. But he appears at the World at WrestleMania. And
so this was WWE's massive like fan
Comic-Con,
fest,
basically.
Comic-Con, which they've since revealed was the most successful WWE fan event in the company history.
Did you see the queues on like Thursday when it opened?
Ridiculous. It was basically WWE Access from years ago, but like...
Better.
Yeah, they've put money into it, invested it in like... made it a massive, massive event. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing matches take place from it again.
Yeah.
Like NXS, oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
And being like, oh, here's an NXT show from, or NXT level up from the WWE world, or
yeah,
WWE speed.
He has new signing Julia. Yeah. And
mind you, they do a big announcement like that, a press conference.
That would have been great, actually, to have had that in a ring at WWE World. Mind you, they didn't have a bust of Stacey Keibler's arse and legs this time, so I think it's a, I think it's an L for WWE personally. Like they did at WrestleMania 18's Access.
Yeah.
The glory days.
Bring back the Attitude Era.
Bring back the restaurant to New York City.
Oh no. Hard Rock Cafe. That's what it is now, isn't it?
Is it the Hard Rock Cafe
in Times Square?
Oh, I've eaten there then. Yeah. I realised that though I ate was at WWE, what was previously WWF New York.
Bloody yeah, because when we went, I was like, oh my God, this is the site of WWE's old restaurant. My parents just did not give a shit.
See, like, right. I still order my hardcore holly pasta. Yeah, yeah.
Just a little pasta shaped like Bob Holly.
Get me Boss Man fish cutlets. In brine? No brine!
No brine!
Not on this brand! No brine!
Brine is forever associated just with All Elite Wrestling.
It's the All Elite restaurant over the way, which is just vats of brine.
It's all catering, it's no tuna, just brine.
Can I get one cup of brine, please? Please, sir. Can I have some brine?
Do you have a lovely glass of brine?
Swirling it. Cigar.
A good vintage brine. A good vintage.
Oh, the 1990. The 1990 Prince is wonderful. Well, they do the best brine, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Do you know what? If we learn anything from the epilogue of Cody Rhodes' his journey to WrestleMania, is that princes do the best brine.
Best brine. Top quality brine.
Is that your review of them?
Well, it's the most expensive.
TripAdvisor, top quality brine. I know. Why is he putting a review of food on TripAdvisor?
For Buckingham Palace. Princes do the best brine.
For like just some random, some, like the Discovery Museum in Newcastle. Wonderful brine from Princes.
Go forward and any website you see a TripAdvisor, just write a review of the brine from Princes fish.
What's your favourite brine?
Get in touch. Don't get in touch.
Mailbag at cultaholic.com.
This is what we'll find out next week. Someone will send us brine or something.
And also, yeah. Fraser's given out the main cultaholic email address. So Bash will go, what? Ask us about brine, Pat.
Yeah. Reese's Pieces.
Quick fire, brine.
What brine do you think of when you think of this wrestler?
Every brine ranked from worst to best.
Finish our brine story. Like we are finishing Cody's story.
Yeah, there we go. Back on track.
But right, so he's at the World at WrestleMania. That was a big tangent. But World
you
at
even
WrestleMania.
Put here beyond that little aside. Yeah. It's like you knew.
So, Cody, basically, he does an interview with Pat McAfee, all that good stuff. And he goes, you know what, right? I might bring back.
You know what, right? Feeling a bit peckish. We're in a silly mood this morning. This is excellent.
Yeah, well, I've barely slept in 5 days, so that makes sense.
We're a bit delirious.
But he basically makes a bold statement. He says he's gonna try and change the title belt to the Winged Eagle. But he's also said he's just not going to call it the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Should he win at WrestleMania? Spoiler, he does, as we've already mentioned.
What?
He's going to name it the WWE Championship.
Ah.
Which they did announce him as when on the press conference afterwards.
Yeah, the WWE Champion.
They called him WWE Champion.
But I feel like on Raw, he was referred to as the Undisputed Universal
So they called him the Undisputed WWE Champion, but all the name tags was Undisputed WWE Universal Champion. So it looks like they're kind of...
We haven't quite decided yet.
Yeah, I think they'll probably drop the Universal once the draft has happened.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's like, I think he's going to stay on Raw.
And what, Priest
moved to SmackDown.
So they get rid of the words Undisputed and Universal, and he's just the WWE Champion.
Yeah.
It saves time.
Does save time?
You get an extra 3 matches.
No one can break Roman's Universal title reign.
Because it'll be gone, basically.
Because the belt's been engulfed into the other one. Money for both dances.
But yeah, so that's the idea. And then WrestleMania comes along. We're all sat here, wide awake, coffee's down, Coke's down,
Coca-Cola.
What a way to kick off the main event here tonight at WrestleMania. There are 72,000.
543 WWE fans here tonight in Philadelphia, sold out at the link. This is the biggest tag team match in the history of WrestleMania. Seth Rollins will main event WrestleMania for the first time in his career. Seth Rollins is also the man that, well, beat Roman Reigns via disqualification a couple of years ago, still holds that in his back pocket. Cody Rhodes, who tomorrow night has the main event against Roman Reigns for the championship, understands a win here tonight evens the playing field. For The Rock and Roman, teaming together for the very first time in their careers, understand a win for them means that bloodline rolls tomorrow night. Let's get it on at WrestleMania!
But disaster for Cody Rhodes straight off the bat. Him and Seth Rollins lose to The Rock and Roman Reigns in what was a very long match. And it was in
45 minutes.
And that didn't include the entrances. They were 20 minutes just by
that
themselves.
Is the second longest WrestleMania match of all time.
What is the longest? The last man standing with Edge and Orton?
No, the Iron Man. That's the Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, that makes
six
sense.
The last man standing match was 37 minutes, I want to say.
But it felt like a lifetime.
It felt like 3 days.
People's elbow. Cover by The Rock. Cody is screwed.
I enjoyed it, but I mean, it was slow for the first 20.
I think it just didn't help that there was no noise and all that stuff, basically.
I think if the crowd was...
It would have been better.
Was hot. It would have been like, oh shit, this feels major. And it did feel major. And I think it really picked up about 15 minutes in. That's when it started getting a bit more like, okay, here we go.
The main event, the first 15 minutes is them just sort of terrified, I think, to injure each other a little bit. Basically.
I guess they were so cold. They've got to actually warm up.
It was like it was 4 degrees.
Yeah. So like it was, you know, it's Baltic.
Yeah, literally
it's
Baltic.
When you're in a jacket and they're in underwear.
And they had heated ring, but like, they just need to lie down on it, really, don't you? Just please give me a back bump.
Have a little sleep.
Well, was it Cody that was saying on the Today Show? He was like, they claimed it was a heated ring. Well, he couldn't feel it.
Oh, so it was just freezing, basically.
Yeah, he was like, night one was cold.
The weather was it seems that the weather played a big part in night one because Michael Cole was doing weather reports.
Yeah, all the time.
Pretty much every 5 or 10 minutes, like he was Paul Mooney from Look North.
And the crowd was really
freezing as
well. But the crowd was pretty quiet night one compared to night two, where it was a bit warmer.
Yeah, I think they were just preserving their heat.
Yeah.
They were just, and it was, for sure. It was, you could tell that the temperature affected some of the stuff because I felt like, Just overall across night one, I thought night one sort of dragged in comparison to night two.
Yeah.
I felt that the opening match bless Becky Lynch going in with strep throat.
And a fever.
And a 105 degree fever. Mm-hmm.
And Rhea Ripley had a 2-hour panic attack before the match.
A 2-hour panic attack before her match as well. So it was hampered by that. They still really went for it and had a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll have greater rematches.
I think that's the thing, that we'll know that there's more, there's better matches to come from them both. But I think night one was not as good as night two, but I didn't feel it dragged at all. I think by the when it got to the main event, I think I was like, oh, we're at the main event already. Like,
oh, I was
here.
Tired. I was tired by the main event.
The Uso match was the only one that dragged for me because it was like, but it allowed me to catch up on other stuff that I needed to do. So I was like, okay, here we go. It's main event time. Oh, right, here's the big moment.
And it was I don't know whether you agree, I thought night one was very ad heavy.
I
compared
felt
like, to night two.
I felt they were both. It just felt like maybe on night one because the in-ring action wasn't as engaging.
Maybe. It might be that. It felt like night two just flowed better.
It felt
that there was a nicer pace to it, whereas night one felt a little bit stunted throughout. But again, that might have been just like the quality of the ring stuff and stuff like that. But anyway, but disaster did strike because they made them go out for 44 minutes.
44 minutes.
A match that probably could have been 20,
yeah,
and we'd have been happy with that.
I thought if it had been 25, it would have been like perfect, basically. Mm. But just cut out the first 20 minutes.
Rock was beating those can't wrestle allegations. Yeah. You get injured after 5 minutes. He 44 went,
minute
you,
classic.
I'm doing 45 minutes.
That's a real old school mentality that Triple H has, that, doesn't he? He's like, nah, Triple H, your leg has fallen off. Don't care, I'm doing an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, just go out and do 10. And nah, I've got to prove myself. No, you don't. You really don't.
45 minutes.
You're going to bore the shit out of everybody, if nothing else. Do 10 minutes and come back.
But
Rock did the same.
In fairness to Triple H, when he went an hour with The Rock at Judgment Day 2000, that match was excellent.
That was really good. That was a well put together one.
I have spoken to people that were there.
Yeah.
And they said night one's main event felt incredible the entire time. Like the whole 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. They were like the live crowd. Maybe
they were like
didn't bang come
into
across
it. Yeah.
On screen. The crowd was really into it because it was like, it's The Rock. Like,
yeah.
So I think maybe that it just didn't translate on screen, but in person, if you're watching that and it's like, oh my God, they were building the anticipation for Cody and Rock to get in there.
And then they did, and they had a lovely time.
They had
a little tickle.
And after they got going, they were like, fuck it, let's go for it. And they bloody did. And then, but loads of callbacks to WrestleMania 39. The whole finish is a complete callback to the main event of WrestleMania 39, where Seth Rollins, he's been taken out. He's been speared through the barricade by Roman Reigns. And it comes down to Cody's got to fight by himself. Hits Crossroads on Reigns, hits another one, and then he goes to the third one. And you'd think by this point he'd sorted out his footwork, but he just starts stumbling back once again. And Cody Rhodes stumbles to the rope, but instead of Solo Sikoa this time, it's The Rock, who, bear in mind this is meant to be a straight singles tag match even. The Rock has just sort of gone to Chad Patton, the referee, going, I will do whatever the fuck I want, and you will not DQ me. And Chad Patton's like, please don't fire me. And so Rock gets the Mama Rhodes weight belt, whips Cody in the back. Cody's like, ooh, that hurt a little bit. And then Roman bounces off the rope, spears him. But instead of Roman pinning him there and then, Roman tags in Dwayne Johnson. Rock comes in, hits Cody to rock bottom. Then he hits the most electrifying move in sports entertainment, the people's elbow, pins him. 1, 2, 3. Chad Patton's like, you're a bastard. And... that's it.
There was a nice moment where Chad Patton actually apologized to Cody during the match.
Yeah,
and was like, I'm sorry, I can't do anything. Like,
yeah, that was. There were some nice little bits in there where The Rock leveraged his.
It felt real.
Director
it
spot.
Felt real.
Felt real
bought into it.
And there was a bit. And there was a touch of potential deception because you had Rock take a spear from Roman when Seth threw Cody out of the way.
Like the build up nice really, bit. Like them bits, the build up really nice. They figured, who is Cody going to win? Because I mean, heading in, like betting odds and everything, the Bloodline were heavy favorites because Cody's going to overcome the odds. But I just sort of think, ooh, are they going to tease a split maybe?
The Rock sold that like he'd just been shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, bloody hell. Like he was like JFK. You know, he was
fucking
back,
wow, fucking hell.
What, just back into
just,
the left,
just dead just in the back of a car.
Back into the left. Well, yes,
Roman in the book depository.
Yes,
or the grassy knoll, or both,
or all of them,
depending on what you read. And there's a great fan meme that has been created from that because Rock's mouth is agog as he's taken this spear, and someone's dubbed in the Tom and Jerry scream over the top of it. Over the top, it just fits perfectly. And there's one I've seen where Roman hits Rock and rings come off him like he's.
Oh yeah, I see that.
That was great. Yeah, it was a very memeable moment.
Triple H made a reference to that on Impulsive. He was like, "I've seen that thing where they do all the rings coming off," and people keep on saying that the guy who tweets is now Triple H because his name is Hang'em Highman.
Yeah,
oh, there's three H's.
He follows me on Twitter.
Like, it's the three H's. It's Triple H.
I like the idea of Triple H going, oh, this will be funny.
I love the idea of Triple H being sat in his office with Adobe Premiere.
movie Maker.
Sorry, Windows Movie Maker. And then Steph comes in, oh, no, no one's doing anything. You work? Yeah, I'm just watching NXT tryouts.
It's how he was protesting Vince McMahon when Vince came back. He was like, fuck you, I'm going to make all these memes.
I'm going to meme the shit out of you. Lol, 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 lol.
Imagine Triple H just a troll online,
I
really.
Fucking love that.
He must have an alt account.
Yeah.
He's got to have one, right? Because he knows the stuff that's going online.
Well, that was the thing. It was like when CM Punk said, complete tangent, when he said he wasn't very online, you went, no, you, Triple H, and all these other people are the most online people of them all.
Drew, most of all.
Drew's so online.
Like, even on Raw, calling Damian Priest Bondage Undertaker. It's like, oh, shit.
Drew was online midway through world title match at WrestleMania.
Brilliant.
That was a fantastic moment for Drew on night two. Yeah. But anyway, so it's Bloodline rules for night one. A huge main event, as you say, like the crowd in the arena ate it up. At home, I think because it wasn't what the night two would be.
Yeah,
it felt quite tiring. I nodded off twice through it.
Did you?
Really? Yeah,
I said it was a solid B main event.
Yeah,
there's been better ones.
Mm. I think if it was the last 20 minutes, it would have been an A tier for me.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
But what happens after the match? The Rock, who's gotten a People's Champion belt from Muhammad Ali's widow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that, did
we? Yeah, so The Rock's got himself a fake belt. Roman's got the real one. But Cody, a complete callback to 39. Rock and Roman are going up the ramp. They stand behind, chuck their belts up, guns up. Mm-hmm. There they are off the belt. And Cody's sat in the ring again, just looking despondent. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this time, there's no rubber chicken.
The only rubber chicken was Seth.
Yeah.
Oh, although I think
I think somebody did throw a rubber chicken on night two, but it didn't reach the ring.
Oh. But I thought we'd just be inundated with rubber chickens.
Yeah.
I just thought they'd just be everybody be throwing
like
rubber
streamers.
Chickens in. Yeah, like this.
Yeah. Lovely. Imagine that would have ruined WrestleMania.
Or enhanced it.
72,000 rubber chickens.
But fair play to the production team, the WWE production team.
They've got incredible.
So it's a new team. It's some new blood in that production team. And boy, can you fucking tell.
Yeah, like it's led by Lee Fitting, who was from ESPN. Fitting. Yeah.
Triple H massively put him over on the presser.
Yeah. I mean, but the production's excellent in terms of like it picks up all the angles you want. There's no camera cuts really badly. Like you're not just getting thrown with all the shit all the time. You can actually watch the wrestling.
The nicest bit was Sami Zayn's entrance.
Yeah.
Where it followed him all the way through family, Gable, Owens. And then you went through Gorilla with him.
Yeah.
And went out onto the stage. It felt like that moment, like that's the closest we'll get to feel to walking on stage at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? I know one of you might want to do it. Tom, you bring an ounce, walk out on stage. Who knows?
Me and Jeff on night three of WrestleMania 52.
Exactly. You know, but it feels so clean throughout the whole production. And that shot with Cody, sad again. The Cody crybaby.
And it was almost exactly...
Even the same spot where he's sat, basically, as well.
They lined
right on the Prime logo.
Lined that up perfectly. And it was a perfect way to end the night, really. It felt somewhat predictable that it was going to go that way, but... Just because it's predictable doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what they had to do that night.
Yeah.
With Michael Cole and Corey Graves and Pat McAfee on commentary going, well, that's it. Cody's screwed. The story will not be finished tonight.
It's like a lot of people have been comparing the whole thing to Infinity War and Endgame. Last year was Infinity War, this year's Endgame, and we've seen a lot of people change that comparison and going, wait, no, it's Star Wars. 38 is A New Hope. Empire Strikes Back is 39. Return of the Jedi was 40.
Nice.
Really, night one of this WrestleMania was Infinity War. The final boss won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Captain America's looking defeated. Then night two, it's fucking Endgame, boys.
That's it, isn't it?
And the odds are firmly stacked against him. But WWE, they must have been listening because they had their own Roads to WrestleMania video package for before the main event of night two.
They knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
Stole our idea.
Triple H, Hagam High, or whatever that guy he listed in. Listened every week.
They listened and went, yeah, you know what? We should really lean into Cody's history. I don't think anyone's done that before.
No one's done that.
They should look, if he wanted, you could have just played all 10 hours of Roads to WrestleMania before the main event.
Yeah. At WWE World. Oh, get us there next year.
Yeah. If you want to pay for my flights, Triple H, feel free. Yeah.
And Rock was feeling package. Yeah. I'm holding up Brian.
In fairness, imagine Jordy Rock. That would be amazing.
Yes, smell.
Just Rock on the lash in the big market.
Don't fuck with the final boss.
Go to the big market, Chippy.
Yes.
It's a tune takeaway on the way home. But boss man's trying to rip him off over charge. He was like, fuck off.
He's the final boss man.
Final boss man.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Can you please tell us exactly what bloodline rules are?
Oh, yes. Well, according to the WWE official rulebook, page 87, subsection D, paragraph 4. Come on! What are bloodline rules? Bloodline rules, Kayla, are anything that are determined by the tribal chief, the final boss, and the wise man to be bloodline rules. No disqualification, no count out, one fall to an absolutely, positively declarative finish. Until one man is announced as the undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion and the other man goes home to his wife, Brandy. Tonight, Kayla, live in Philadelphia, Roman Reigns and Bloodline Rule.
The story is no longer about myself. The story is about all of you who have followed me to the absolute ends. And if I learned anything from last year, I can't do it alone, guys. Will you ride with me? And on April 7th, against Roman Reigns, will you fight with me?
Now we've reached the final chapter. The dream turned to nightmare, given one last chance against a bloodline stronger than ever. Tonight, one way or another, the story ends.
I'm not number two. I'm the one.
If you don't win, you will never get another shot at this again.
I could do this with my eyes.
Odds stacked against Cody to do the video package. They show the Young Bucks. They show Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega from Wrestle Kingdom 12. They show Ring of Honor footage of Cody. Then, of course, it goes into all his WWE stuff in WrestleMania 39. Great video package to really hype you up. Imagine Dragons were there. Shout out to Mitch Wadden. He would have been loving it.
Yeah.
He would have been.
Straight on there.
And that's a callback because we talked about this in one of the earlier ones where, obviously, WrestleMania 30, Imagine Dragons did Monster.
They did.
And it was the story of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So it's a nice callback to 30 to have the story of Cody with Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
Not as good a song, though. Not as good as Summer.
Yeah, I think Monster was...
Monster, you
it was
can't...
spot on.
Spot
one
on.
Yeah.
But you couldn't have used Monster again.
I would have used X Gun Give It To You.
I'd have used Chaz and Dave Rabbit.
Imagine Cody coming out to X Gun Give It To You.
Or just Snooka Loopy for no reason.
Snooka Loopy!
Oh, chicken fried.
Oh! But the really
cold
sad
beer
bit.
On Friday night.
But it's like the bit about 9/11 is like the really sad bit where you get spiked in the throat by Solo.
I thank God for my life.
And when he, oh, the stars.
The stars and stripes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, close on his neck.
Troops who give their lives.
Don't do that.
Please, can someone edit? Someone edit a video package of Cody Rhodes, but put chicken fried over.
Oh my God.
Like the one that they played on Raw, but put chicken fried.
Chicken fried.
Like a slow piano remix.
But we have all this some post-apocalyptic shit going on, like Endgame.
Oh, this is for night two.
Night two.
We said this upstairs. If WrestleMania 40 was just night two, probably one of the best of all time.
I think it's still top five, but like we were saying, it's top three with just night one.
Yeah,
it's top three for me regardless, I think.
Yeah.
It just the connection, the emotional connection to it, the investment in it, this felt like peak WWE. Like, it made me feel like what it was like watching as a kid.
And that's like, what it's about, isn't it? Because you've said several times like this is only the second ever Universal Champion you've ever known working at Cultaholic.
Yeah.
Because like, Roman was champ when you joined.
Well, I was still at university. I hadn't finished my degree. I hadn't even started my dissertation when Cody won. I hadn't started fourth year when Roman won. So like this is, it's been a long, long time and it's been a journey.
And we were all in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Pandemic was on when Roman won.
The last champion was Bray Wyatt.
We've had like four prime ministers.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt and four prime ministers later. And Roman Reigns is the guy.
Had Brexit happened? Yes, just.
No, Brexit happened 2016.
No, but like the actual leaving. Oh, that was the start of 2020.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, yeah. In that time, the economy's gone down the path.
Boris still hadn't had a party yet.
Yeah.
All that is still to come. Neither of us were engaged.
Neither of us were engaged?
No. Not to each other, but to other people. what else wouldn't have happened? Yeah. Queen was still with us?
Yep.
I still lived at home with your mum and dad.
Yeah. Wow.
I know I'd moved out by the time Roman won. Yeah. Shit tangent, that really.
Yeah, it's a good, strong tangent. So yeah, so the main event comes around and it's Bloodline Rules, and it is very like the Cody's entrance, very post-apocalypse.
Yeah, and then he comes out and he's got these American Nightmare skull as a mask.
Now apparently they were rehearsing that earlier in the day.
We had but the
skull wasn't ready, so they had to. So he was just pretending to take a mask on and off.
He should have done that in the final. Shit, I forgot it. Right, I'll just pretend.
I'll just pretend.
He just runs to the back or something. Yeah,
he gets lifted up. Realize. Fuck. Just descends
just
again.
Just waves. Waves goodbye. I was like, what the fuck?
What was the thing they had to improvise in the Glasgow Willy Wonka thing where they said, oh, we haven't got this yet. We need to improvise.
Everything?
Everything, yeah.
Something with the unknown.
It's the unknown. The unknown's got a job now, hasn't
good
she?
Good lad.
Yeah, she's working down in London.
Like
or
London Dungeon or something?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. The unknown, the character, the unknown, played by the original actress.
Yeah. fair play.
Sarah Unknown.
And then speaking of unknowns, Brandy came out.
Yeah, big. The Linda pop for Brandy.
Yeah.
Aye.
That was
big,
great, that
big
was.
Time.
And I think that's a testament to... it goes to the old idea that Vince was like, you don't know what you want, I know what you want. And the fact that Brandy came out and everyone knew without any real
explanation,
that's Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah.
Way, you know.
It was open mic night, bitch. Oh, that's what it was.
Who told you
ratchet
it was
ass?
Open mic night, bitch?
Brandy Rhodes and Jay Cargill were backstage at the same time.
I know, right?
Probably being nice to each other.
Probably, I just hope they were ripping each other's hair out, calling each other ratchet.
With some Tony Khan complimentary brine.
I'm sure they had a little bit of that brine left.
But yeah, so then Cody makes his entrance. It all takes. Roman has a big entrance as well. He's got an orchestra of school children. They're all singing.
It was incredible.
And then Samantha Irvin gives it the absolute bifters.
Fucking weekend. She gave it the fucking
best ring announcer in the game. Yeah. Sorry, Tom.
No, fucking icon. I can't match Samantha Irvin. Like, she is a phenomenal voice. She's got pipes for days. Mm-hmm. She has star aura and Kevorka about her.
Yep.
Plus, at the drop of a hat, they can stick on the Razor Ramon theme song and she can play the flute to it.
True. Like,
and she's a belting singer. She is absolutely the MVP of WWE.
It's insane that they just stumbled upon her and it's like, okay, she can do fucking everything.
She can do everything.
Oh, we're going to have her do the whole of WrestleMania.
Cool. Oh, she's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Like, if ever they fail to hire somebody to sing just the national anthem, just get her to do it.
Just do it.
Better than Mean Gene.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's it. And Lillian Garcia. Sorry, Lillian.
Yeah.
But that's what we have. They're in the ring. They start wrestling. The first 20 minutes is like a really good, just like clean wrestling match, basically. Mm. Like Roman and Cody, WWE's looked out in the sense that they have incredible chemistry.
Oh, it's insane, right? Mm.
Like, it is just really, really good. They have really good things. Roman does a little funny bit where he hits him with the crossroads and then goes, this is a shit move. Because he fails to beat him.
And Roman's just in his pomp for the first 30 minutes. At one point, I remember he chucks him outside the ring and Roman's like, I'm going to miss beating your ass.
Yeah.
It's just great.
I could do this all night.
Yeah. They went into the crowd, didn't they? Yeah. And they were just having a dick about in the crowd.
Did you see that? Cause a fan to flinch?
No.
A fan, as they're walking... they've immediately gone out over the barricade. They're walking past, and a fan touches him on the back, and he just goes like that. And the fan like shits himself. He doesn't obviously hit him, but he goes. Yeah. He goes brings like, up the fist.
Paul Heyman follows up with the two digs of the arm.
It was like it got a really good, like, in the area around him. And I imagine anyone that was watching a little further back, it probably looked like Roman hit a fan. So he got some good heat on it.
Don't touch the wrestlers. Come
yeah,
on
don't
now.
Touch them. But it was, yeah, great, insane chemistry these two have.
And it all sort of builds along. Cody, I think at this point, already hit one crossroads. This would be, he's going for a second one?
Yeah, so the golden ticket to the title for Cody is this trifecta of crossroads.
Yeah.
He's been unable to hit. So he goes for it here. He hits one. He goes for the second and...
Spoiler, we'd already seen him under the ring by mistake.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. It's a little hand go.
A little hand? Oh, fuck.
Dare I say, for the first time tonight, the champ is in trouble. Crossroads out of range. Cody Rhodes looking for another one. Jimmy Uso! Are you surprised? Bloodline rules. I'm not surprised at all. Superman punch. Oh, yeah. Cody Rhodes has got some friends, too. Jimmy and Jay on a collision course. And Jay. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. A spear off the stage.
This is what they should have done night one.
Big brawl.
Big brawl. More super kicks and then... Jay spears him off the stage down to a pile of tables and went, fuck me, that was cool.
That was into good. Fucking oblivion, yeah. Didn't it? It was so great. Well done. That 12 seconds of Jimmy and Jay was far superior than the 10 minutes we had the night before.
Yeah.
It was just superb. I think it was just, again, this production excellence where, and because that also, it's a little thing, the tables were the same color as the ground. They were black.
It looked all right.
It just looked like that they just fell into oblivion.
Yeah, for sure.
So you didn't really know they crashed onto the tables. They're just like, just getting you off. And Jay's like, I don't give a damn. I'm just getting you off the fucking stage.
Give both of them a really nice spot that is probably more memorable than their match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, 100%. People will remember that as a more recent thing they did at WrestleMania.
That'll be what they remember from their time at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then what we have is, so Jimmy's out. Here comes Solo, also from under the ring, where he just peers out of nowhere.
And they absolutely ape the WrestleMania 39 finish, because it's one crossroads, two crossroads.
Then he just spikes him. Spike.
Yeah. Cody looks around for a minute, because I think Solo is slightly late.
Yeah, he's sort of waiting a little bit for him, going, come on,
here
man,
I go. I've got with the third one. I hope nobody comes out to spike me. Oh, no.
Come on, Cody, do it. Oh, damn it. Solo Sikoa.
And then he goes, wah, and spikes him. And Cody's like, oh, no, he's dead.
It's so funny watching Solo, like, on SmackDown and Raw this past week when I was just watching them. And he loves his thumb so much. And he's always staring at it. And he did it, right, like, numerous points.
Just looking at his thumb.
He's just like... And it's like, what are you doing, mate?
It's a bit like when Diesel debuted in the WWF. And Vince was like, you can't wring your hands enough. You can't stop messing with your hands. Like, you can't do that enough. So I guess, like, you can't be fascinated with your thumb enough.
Yeah, got to, you love that thumb.
It's a dangerous weapon in wrestling.
It
ended
is.
Of WrestleMania.
It did.
And what we have from here, I've leaned back there for some reason.
Lean back.
Lean in.
And we have the spike spear combo.
Yeah, so you've got Solo going, finish him, finish him. And Roman's like, I know, shut the fuck up.
Lucky he was having an argument with his son.
Like, shut the fuck up, Solo, I'm going to spear him. And then they do the spear spike combination. That's won them many a match.
Yeah.
And so Cody at this point is already kicked out of the Samoan spike. And we're thinking, oh, no, well, that's it. In kayfabe terms, oh no, how Cody is no coming back from this. And it's like 1, 2, 2.99.
That was close.
And he just kicks out. You're like, oh, this might be it. Like, he might actually be winning it. And
that makes me so nervous watching those.
Yeah.
Because I know being in it, I can't imagine. Because you want to make it as real and as close as possible.
But the referees are told to call it like a shoot.
The referees are told to shoot it. So he's got to, I'd be getting it up at like. Two.
Yeah,
just
one.
Just too nervous.
I feel like they must have a contingency in the main event at WrestleMania in case it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Roman wins and then Triple H, no, not like that.
Yeah.
It's a Bloodline rules match. But
comes and tears both quads. Then yeah. So starts the match or something.
Cody actually stumbled upon the Money in the Bank briefcase backstage and he's cashing in right now.
But I found.
But yeah, so this all happens. The crowd goes mental when he kicks out. Solo starts screaming, and the camera pans to face the stage. And we go, oh, I wonder what's happening here.
Resiliency!
John Cena's music comes over the thing, and then Cena gives it the absolute biff as charges out of the ring.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Cena's coming against him! Against the man who took him out! Solo Sikoa!
Comes in.
Fabulous.
Absolutely just wallops Solo over the top rope.
John Cena's here! Cena's in with the plate!
Oh! Then thinks, oh, Roman's there. Gives him an attitude adjustment, goes outside, tears the shit off the announce table, sort of stumbling around at this point, puts him through the announce table with an attitude adjustment.
Guess what? You can't see him anymore! Attitude adjustment!
And everyone's just reeling from the fact that fucking Cena's turned up. This is great.
But it even made storyline sense, because of course Solo was the one that wrote him off TV in November.
Michael Cole ticked that box immediately. Yeah. And I thought, good lad, that's it.
But as soon as that camera panned and you had John Cena's face on one side of the screen and the stage on the other.
John Cena! Holy!
If you smell! And then you're like, oh my shit. God.
Arrived at WrestleMania. John Cena. Cena, ghost of his past.
Flared pants, waistcoat.
Looking like fucking Elvis in Las Vegas.
Island Rock.
Island Rock. he walks out slowly. He's got his belts. He's got the Mama Rhodes belt, and he's got the People's Champion belt.
I don't think he had it with him.
Did he not?
No.
No, he just had his...
He just came out with the Mama Rhodes belt around his waist and just looking very cross.
I must have had a Nelson Mandela effect.
He had a little Nelson Mandela effect there. But then we get this lovely moment where we get the main events of WrestleMania 28 and 29.
Yeah, and the little face-off in the ring as well. You went, fuck me, wrestling's good, innit? And then it was John turned around, we saw his bald spot again, and then he turned back. We all, thank God that's gone. Yeah. And he just, you can't see me, and of course Rock could see him, and then gave him a rock bottom, and then...
And Rock just starts swearing. Yeah. Get the fuck out of my ring!
But he swore the way down the ramp as well, because the audio just cut, and we're like, oh, he's swearing again. Yeah. Okay.
We got thrice in a lifetime.
Yeah, thrice in a lifetime.
Last time we saw these two square off... Well,
no, they had 32 together, right?
They had 32 together as a team.
Yeah,
where they took down the Wyatts.
Yeah.
So this is the third one-on-one, which is cool. Mm.
And then it was...
No. Guys!
And for a brief second, I went, fuck me, is John Moxley there?
I think the internet collectively shit itself.
For like about half a second, we all went, no way.
Mox?
Yes.
It was a nice way to have Mox involved in the main event.
Yes. Even though, in reality, I think it was in Japan.
He'd
done Secure Genesis on the Saturday.
But just to have that music and everyone think, oh, is Mox here? It was like, oh my God, we've got... Even just the thought of it, everyone had that thought.
Yeah, but that's nice, actually, what you say there. Like, you put him in the main event without having to put him in the main event.
Yeah. And Tony Khan since said, like, when somebody asked him, well, did WWE ask you about Mox? He went, no. But of course, they didn't. I think he would have said yes, but you've got to give me something in return.
In return, yeah.
Give me William Regal back.
Yeah. Can I get Cody for a night?
Yeah. Yep. Like, it might have been the Christian Cage deal where he went back to TNA.
Yeah.
Like, one night. Like
Cody appears on the show.
Cody comes out and,
Cody with the WWE title on my show.
Cody commentates the CM Punk All In backstage.
Wrestling's brilliant.
That would be amazing, in fairness. But yeah, so this whole Rock stood there. Yeah, then... Seth, I don't know where he comes from. They've got the crowd panning around looking for him, I think. But he doesn't even sort of... He comes in the ring, and then Roman, like a brick shithouse, flies out of nowhere. Superman punches him in the face, and Seth's just dead. Mm-hmm. But he's done what he achieved. He's in the Shield here, and the steel chair is in the ring, and it'll come into play later. I was thinking maybe that wasn't quite 100% the original plan, but Seth was packaged from earlier in the night,
though. I think it was. And the more I've thought about it, the more I think it's fucking brilliant.
He sacrificed himself. He was the Shield.
I think the idea was he was in there in the Shield gear because this is a phenomenal callback because of the obviously the breakup and how pissed off Roman was when he faced Seth at the Rumble when he dressed in the Shield gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All it was doing was a fucking red rag to the bull of Roman.
I think that was the original plan, but in the sense that I think Seth might have hit some offense before he got taken out straight away, maybe.
I mean, I don't think he needed to.
Yeah.
I think the fact I got the vibe that whilst we didn't see it, he got in there with the chair, was lining up to hit The Rock just so Roman would see him.
Yeah.
And then he slid into the ring going, nah, man.
So someone else is on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, pointed out, it was like Roman wouldn't let Seth do what he did to Roman to his family. So he wouldn't allow Seth to hit Rock in the back with a chair because Roman has felt that from Seth.
Yeah.
And he won't let his family feel that because he believes he loves his family so much. Yeah. That's what drives him. But also it shows that Roman was fucked at this point, right? He was down and out. But as soon as he heard the Shield music and saw Seth, he was ready to just strike. As Tom said, it was like a red rag to a bull. Like, it was an intense minute. But it was like, oh, Seth's fucked.
Seth's dead. And then so you've got Seth dead. Rock's about he's about to whip Cody with the Mama Rose, and of course Mama Rose is at ringside.
Oh, at this point, Rock's turned around and seen Seth, and he just started effing and jeffing again.
Yes,
like swearing like a sailor once again.
You
like,
a little bitch.
You fucking little fucking clown emoji.
And then turns around, is going to whip Cody. None of who is gone.
Whole stadium goes mental.
And then it looks worse the actual footage, but on TV looks amazing because camera pans around. Then the lights come back on, and it's like another meme moment. Undertaker's behind The Rock. You're like, fuck me, it's 2000 again.
Holy Christ! The dead man coming!
Holy Christ!
And then Rock turns around. Fair play to Rock. Choke slam. He just sells it like an absolute beast.
Choke slam!
And then Undertaker lights go back out. And then the clip is Undertaker runs off like Ross Kemp running away from a gang.
There's a fabulous picture that's done the rounds of like Undertaker and his entourage getting to the back as quick as they can. And it is very Ross Kemp. It also, I put on Twitter, it's like when you see the 69 bus pulling in, but you're still 20 feet away.
Yeah, you've got to fucking run for him.
You're going to give it a bit. As you said, to quote someone I know, give it bifters.
Give it bifters. But he just starts absolutely heaving it, doesn't he, out of it.
It's great. On WTF moments, Ross Tweddle took full advantage of this and he's cropped himself running with the Undertaker. Come on, Mark, we've got to get out of here. Say to the end of night 2 of WTF moments and it's there.
But this is where it's left. So everyone's basically out. Cena's at ringside. Solo's dead.
Well, I will
say
this very quickly about the Undertaker bit before we move on, sorry. Lovely to see him. Great moment. Like, what is this? Should have been in the demon at get up. That's my only thing. I thought that'd have been a nice time to have had in full Undertaker, old school Undertaker.
As opposed
gear,
to hoodie Mark Calloway.
As opposed
Calloway.
To a man who's going to sell you a van.
I preferred his current, the look he used for it because it felt like it was more impromptu.
That's a good shout.
As in, like
he's at the back having a tab or something.
He's at WrestleMania.
Like start the teleporter.
Yeah, like as he was at WrestleMania, we knew he was good. He was there.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Shit's going down. Injustice in the ring. Batman's on the case. Then he gets there and it's just teleport in the ring. Have a jog out. I think actually, for me, it
not a worked. Jog, it's a teleport.
Teleport.
Out for
it made more sense in that sense. It would have made way more sense for Stone Cold, though.
Yeah.
This
was the weird thing because we had reports from Meltzer saying Stone Cold is planned for WrestleMania. Yeah. We all thought, well, he's in the main event then, isn't he? He's going to get involved. So, we still don't quite know what happened there at the time of recording.
No, because it would have obviously they sort of telegraphed it a bit with the John Cena and Steve Austin faces on the truck.
Yeah,
the Undertaker seems like a good choice if you can't get Steve Austin. But I'm just curious as to know why we didn't.
Yeah, it was a little bit odd, but in one sense, the final boss met the final boss of WrestleMania, the gatekeeper of WrestleMania, and he protected Cody Rhodes from.
And they did explain
the
it quite,
final boss.
They explained it quite well, and they went, he always had issues with the Anoa'i family going back 30 years of Yokozuna. That's what they said on commentary.
Yeah, and Paul true. Heyman.
And Paul Heyman, yeah.
And, you know, the with Paul Brock Heyman and all had that. Two, was the client of two people who broke his streak or beat him at WrestleMania.
That's a good show.
So, like, he's getting all the revenge. So
there's plenty of reasons. There's plenty of reasons why it would have been. Still would have been nice to be
Austin.
Still
be Austin, yeah.
Just give
one more stunner.
Mental stunners one last time.
Yeah.
Rocks him. I managed to get himself over the top rope this time.
Also, in the sense of, like, the John Cena, Stone Cold, the two main faces of eras,
yeah,
passing it on to Cody would have been really nice.
I was slightly terrified Hulk Hogan was going to come out or something.
I think if there'd been one more run in, if maybe Haku would run in, Hogan would have dispatched Haku.
Yeah, one more leg drop, he just lies there. I can't move.
I can't get up.
Or Hogan just runs in, takes out Haku, then pins Roman.
Just wins the
belt. Yeah, bro!
Bret Hart somewhere going, what has happened to wrestling?
Yeah, Roman beats Cody and then Hulk Hogan challenges him to a match.
Imagine that, brother.
They're doing the big show thing from WrestleMania 36, but on like next week's Raw.
They repeat the worst WrestleMania 9.
So we're covering the whole gamut of WrestleManias, including the shit ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all that happens. You've got Roman in the middle. He's the only one up, basically, after all this. He gets up, steel chair, picks up the chair. He's in the centre of the ring. You've got Cody to the right. Seth Rollins pulling himself up to the left. And this, it's not quite cinema, because we're not there with wrestling. I don't know if we ever will be. Mm-hmm. But it was theatre. A beautiful moment. Sports entertainment is what it was. And
not
then
No.
And then he looks to the left, sees Seth and goes, you're a cunt, you.
it's what
he thought in his head.
You're a cunt, and you.
In a callback to when Seth betrayed the Shield in 2014, inch perfect is the callback. Twats him in the back the same way Seth hit him. Then Seth falls the way Roman did, and his head even bounces off the bottom rope, and his arms straight over, and he went, oh, that was magical. And then Roman, having done this, goes to set up for the spear. Goes for the spear, but this has given Cody just enough time to recover. He kicks Roman in the head. He hits the fourth crossroad. He hits the fifth crossroad. And he hits the sixth crossroads. He finally gets the holy trinity of crossroads.
He teases not hitting it for a while, though. Yeah. He holds him up. He's shaking his bicep. He's drinking it in.
Because he gets the crowd up. So he's like, come on. Come on. You know what's coming.
Yeah. There was me going, hang on. Jacob Fatu signed. Is he? No, come on. And they left it long enough for me to go, is there? There's surely not more to come.
Yeah.
But there wasn't.
But it's a great 5 minutes. Like, one of the best 5 minutes in WrestleMania history.
Is he gonna do it? Can he do it? Is this the Rollins moment? Come on, Cody! Crossroads! Cover! Finished the story!
Samantha Irvin, understandably overcome with emotion.
We all are. We all are.
Roman Reigns with a big grin on his face while being pinned.
Yeah, there was. I saw this clip, and it looks like Roman's smiling as he's being pinned. I think what it is because he's out. It seems like Cody just pulls on his face.
A little bit,
that
right.
So his mouth up like that. You know, when you grab someone's face and go, come on, smile.
Like, I think, just playing with him while he's down.
I feel like he's just doing that, maybe.
Yeah.
Still.
It still looks like he's having a little smile.
But either way, Cody Rhodes, with Samantha Irvin basically trying to hold it together, announces him as the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Cody Rhodes has finished the story.
The whole ending of this match, the final 5 minutes, the three crossroads with Cody, he's drinking in that moment. The pin, the finish, the story, and Samantha Irvin's call. peak wrestling. Yeah. That's like one of the greatest moments.
In the cult of Roman Reigns as well, it sets up perfectly for whatever's coming with them two, Seth and Roman. You're like, fuck me, that's just good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wrestling when it's good, it's fucking good.
But it's been fucking good for a while
now.
Yeah.
It was everything about that was just absolutely exactly as it should be, in the right place it should be. Samantha Irvin's a very emotional reaction. I don't think other announcers would get away with doing that. What's pissing me off now is there's going to be fucking announcers my age that look like me who are going to try and ape that moment and for lesser things.
And it won't work.
And it won't work. It was the fact that it's Samantha Irvin, who has been a wrestling fan since she was fucking 13 years old. She's attended shows. She's cheered. She's been a massive fan forever. And she was a key component in the most important moment in modern wrestling history. How could you not get fucking overwhelmed by that?
Also helps that she doesn't get told the results. She chooses not to know the results. That's before brilliant. They happen.
Like, she just watches the
so
show.
So she watches it as a fan. She gets her cue and she does the announcement. So that not only was ad-libbed because she's not scripted in what she's saying. Obviously, it's a set call, but like...
It just made us feel more real, right?
It was like no one expected Cody to do it, but we all wanted him to do it, including... Yeah.
Including the ring announcer.
Including the ring announcer.
But you've got Michael Cole on comedy as well. He's like really, really great throughout the whole night because you can completely tell that he's not restricted by any means compared to what he was when Vince McMahon was in charge.
Tell, yeah.
Something controversial. I think Cole surpassed JR now.
I think, yeah.
It's the thing where, unfortunately for JR, he's been around for too long and it has damaged.
But Michael Cole has been around a long time now as well.
And he's still just giving it.
He did have a really little drop-off period when he was a heel back in like 2011.
It was just when he was overly scripted, Michael Cole was bad. But then you could see what he could do, because I'm pretty sure he did like the NXT UK tournament.
Yeah.
And he was great for that. Fantastic. And then he'd go back on SmackDown and go, it's boss time! Like, you'd be like, right?
For the past 2 years, like, it's just insane, his talent.
And the fact that like we're hearing him now with a much lighter leash.
Yeah.
Obviously, they still get guidance through the headset, but they're certainly not told exactly how to phrase every single thing ever.
They're basically trusted, like they know how to do their jobs.
Yeah, what a crazy thought. But then, so he's doing that with little guidance, and Jim Ross is in AEW with little guidance.
Yeah.
So you can go, okay, so now we can see how these guys are, and you've got Michael Cole, who's out there telling the story the way that he feels right and having fun with doing it, and JR just sounds like he's just fucking fed up with everything. Yeah, well, that's shit, that is. Why are they diving? Why are they gathering there? Why has he done that spot? That's weird. Like, and I get JR's always just going to be true to himself and go, if something's not right, I can't call it. But surely part of the job, it was his job for a long time, was to go, this is bullshit, but I'm here to do a job.
Yeah.
So it's that. But Michael Cole, I never thought about it until you said it, Fraser, but I think you might be right.
I think he might take that crown.
And what I love about Michael Cole as well is the way that he constantly introduces Corey Graves at the start of shows now as the heir apparent.
Yeah. But Corey Graves as a player-by-player has been really good on SmackDown as
solid.
Well.
And bless him, because he has worked with so many attempted failure-to-launch lead announcers.
And he's just been sat there going,
I could probably do this. And he's been brilliant.
Corey Graves is the next guy, and after him it'll be Vic Joseph.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, he's getting much better.
He was shit for ages, Vic Joseph, going
back to NXT and leading it, I think he's
that is if he can survive NXT long enough and not kill Booker T. I feel like we're getting close.
Yeah.
I think one day Booker's going to say something like gazpacho, and Vic Joseph's just going to stab him in the neck.
I don't know, watch it at Botchamania, where it's a mini segment where Booker T's just chatting shite, and Vic Joseph's like, let's get back to the match. But yeah, so like, It's mad because like Dewey's got a good set of commentators now. Basically, Barrett's perfect for color and all this sort of stuff.
I liked how as well when Vic Joseph, when they started the NXT Stand and Deliver, because it was Vic Joseph, Booker T, and Wade Barrett. Yeah. Obviously, Wade would have a gig for the weekend, and so Vic starts early trying to get Wade on side, and Wade's like, "Well, I agree with Booker. I think you're an idiot." <It's> great. That's perfect. Because Wade doesn't. I don't think Wade believes that. Wade's like, nah, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Booker's eggs. Just ride Vic Joseph a little longer. But yeah, I think he's certainly another one down the line. Great calls by all. Lots of liberal use of the word professional wrestling.
Yeah, so we'll get
pro
to
pro wrestling
this.
Is back, so, said Pat McAfee.
Yeah, so
I love pro wrestling, said Michael Cole.
As it's going off the air.
Mm.
And then it was, so mass celebration ensues. A select baby, top baby faces, they all come out. Mm. So yeah, Punk's there chatting a scene. I'm like, fuck me.
They get their moment at WrestleMania, finally.
Yeah, yeah. They finally got the main event of Mania.
There's a lovely bit where Cena and Orton are just having like a catch-up.
Yeah.
How are the kids? Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
And you've got...
I think at one point Cena's like, it's goodness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's goodness.
And then you've got Seth on the outside, just pagged. He's like, I can't actually get up. Can somebody help me? And the babyface is helping around him and Cody shake hands.
Yeah.
Cody, the first person to get to Cody after he's given the belt is Brandy.
Yeah.
And they have to have a little kiss. And then Cody presents the belt to his mom. Like, oh, lovely moment. Negative one's there. And
he's getting sacked. Tony Khan's
crossed the line.
I'm going to show the CCTV footage of negative one. Doing a big poo-poo.
In the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah. But you had... But the ring's just full of everybody, basically. And then, to show you how much things have changed, Cody Rhodes goes, Triple H, Bruce Pritchard... come on out here. And Bruce Pritchard does come out. Like, oh, yeah. And then Triple H comes up and he goes, fuck me. He's given me no choice, the bastard. I'm trying to sit here. And he comes out and he just basically raises his arm and goes, basically going, here's your new champion.
John Cena has revealed what he said to Cody.
What did he say?
So he was like, because Cody had the belt in his hand and they hugged and Cena went, do you feel the weight of that? That gets heavier every single day.
Well, a way to bring down the mood, John.
Fuck it.
But he was like, that you deserve...
You deserve to be the guy.
You deserve to be, you know, you're the guy that can take this, you're the quarterback, okay, sort of thing. But like, you feel the weight of that heavy weight of that belt, that is the responsibility.
Because this is the thing we've heard from like people like Bret Hart and all this and that. As WWE champion, maybe you don't say it all the time in the sense of who has been WWE champion, but in the locker room and all that, you're meant to be the guy. You are the WWE.
Yeah, you're the leader of the company. Generation. Is
yeah.
You're leader of that team.
And that's very much been reestablished again with Roman having the belt for so long. He was the top star. But one of the things that, as you've mentioned, is WWE very much throughout all of WrestleMania, like, this is a new era. This is the Triple H era.
Paul Levesque era.
Yeah.
Because we're not calling him Triple H anymore. We're calling him Paul Levesque.
Triple H Levesque.
There was a little bit, it was like sometimes were calling it the Paul Levesque era, and then other times it was the Triple H era, and then sometimes it was the Paul Triple H Levesque era, and it was like,
I think
you need to get branding down.
Just call it the Triple H era because everyone knows him as Triple H.
But I think they're trying to move him away from being called Triple H, whether or not they want him.
Executive stuff.
Yeah, because I think when he came out, maybe at WrestleMania, where they announced him as Paul Triple H Levesque.
Yeah, yeah. And then I know Stephanie called it the Paul Levesque era, but then on comic, the like Triple H era and stuff like that.
It makes more sense to call it Triple H, I think, and then have all his actual behind-the-scenes stuff be called Paul Levesque.
Maybe it's a case of trying to unblur that line and just have like
Renaissance
one...
era was right there, but Cody fucking trademarked
it. Yeah, Cody trademarked it and took it away. Nobody's going to pay you.
I couldn't see people calling this the Renaissance
era. I put up a post a few weeks ago and like, oh, it looks like we're about to enter a new era. What do we call it? And the unanimous result was Renaissance.
Oh, wow.
It was like loads of people going, it's the Renaissance, it's the Renaissance.
They only say that because Backlash is in France.
I think it fits. I think it fits.
A big running from Descartes. Off here. Just a complete bollocks, yeah.
Just what we wanted. It's what we want to happen.
But yeah, Triple H era and... Triple H and Cody go off, and then WrestleMania ends with Michael Cole going, I love pro wrestling. When, yeah.
Pro wrestling is back. Pro wrestling is beautiful.
And what we've heard since, that WWE are moving away from the sports entertainment terminology. They're very much going, there's a separation. The big idea essentially is that they're trying to separate as much as possible from Vince McMahon. Yeah. Basically going, he's gone, he ain't coming back. He's gone for good. This is the Triple H era now. This is pro fucking wrestling. You're like, bloody hell. Of course, I missed all this. WWE are still a defendant in the Janelle Grant lawsuit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But on screen, they're separating it. New era Cody. I felt a tiny twinge bad for Roman in the sense that they're sort of like, he's the old era. Even though it's not really, because Roman is part of this new era as well.
His title reign was, though, so that's, I guess, the thing.
No, that's it, the separation.
And there was a moment after when everyone was celebrating with Cody in the ring, and there's some video footage that's emerged of this, of Roman and Paul at the top of the ramp, and you can just see Paul just sort of just go towards Paul Heyman, just bury his head on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel much like a hug. It doesn't feel like two people having a hug going, well done. It genuinely feels like Roman's quite despondent, and he comes to Paul for emotional support.
He's like his on-screen father, but also like the father figure behind the scenes.
It felt like a father consoling a son.
Yeah. I think WWE is set to release a behind-the-scenes look at WrestleMania on YouTube this week.
Yeah, any day now,
I'm very intrigued to see how Roman appears in it. Because there's a screenshot being released already where he looks buzzing, and people are like, yeah, he was ready. He was ready. Ready to pass that torch. Ready to take some time off, which he's had enough of that.
Well, maybe that hug was just like a relief.
Relief hug.
It was thank God. Breathe.
Part of it could be, as part of the issue was, is Roman Reigns was the guy. And there wasn't that guy to really take it off of him until like last year, really, where you had like... Well, you could have passed it to Drew, could have passed it to
Sammy,
could have passed it to Cody.
Even Jay, to an extent.
But in terms of, like, if John Cena said the belt gets heavier, how fucking heavy is it after 4 years?
Right. Also, but probably at the same time, great moment, he gets to be a part of it. His title reign's over. Who is he without the belt now?
See, this is it. And I was saying this to Jack, and we recorded the news, that we're recording this on the Wednesday, and... I said, I can't fathom seeing Roman walking to the ring without the belt.
Because it hasn't happened since he's been this new character.
It's going to look too weird with him without the belt. You're going to have to change so much of his appearance, I think, to not make that weird.
Yeah.
To have him come out without a belt. Even Rock still comes out with a fucking belt. Because he's got the one that Muhammad Ali's widow gave him.
Yeah.
Roman's got nothing. That's going to look
it's
weird.
It's so strange.
Because he'll still have like the beads as well, but it'll sort of be tribal chief, but... He's under threat now.
Will he still have the lay?
Yeah, because he's still a head of the bloodline.
I think we see a segment. If Rock was still around, I was hoping to see a segment where Rock rips them off him.
Mm.
So there's a theory that what Rock handed Cody was one of the...
What are the beads?
Beads from the lay.
And he's now Hawaiian.
Because he says, you broke my heart. He's kicked Roman out.
Ooh.
This is what I'm thinking.
Wow. Well, let's move towards that, shall we?
So we've all had some sleep, but we're very tired. But in America, they're not tired, and they're all really fucking hyped for the Raw after WrestleMania. The show, New Era, starts with Triple H again going, hello, it's a new era.
Good old Paul, no, you don't want me in the photograph, Levesque.
Yeah.
Starting the Paul Levesque era.
The brand new, undisputed WWE champion, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes!
It was 2 years ago. It was the Raw after WrestleMania. I came out here. I laid out my goals. I dreamed in the open. And last night at WrestleMania 40, that dream became reality. A big thing they ask you when you get into sports entertainment, when you get into wrestling, is what is your why? Why are you doing this? Why do you pay the price? Why do you make the sacrifices? If I could, I know we've got a unique setup in here with this wonderfully huge house, but if you could indulge me, Fathom, and everybody in the truck, I'd like to show you one of my main whys.
Papa, finish the story.
That is my Libby Curls, and I want her to know that when Papa goes to work, he doesn't just go to work, he goes to work in the main event. This is a unique predicament for me. I have always stood in the line, and now the line is for me. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cody Rhodes. Once undesirable, become undeniable, and now undisputed Universal WWE Champion.
Cody Rhodes, and then we get the whole pomp and circumstance. You deserve it, all the really good stuff. And they show a really lovely video package where, and all that, he's been listening, Roads to WrestleMania.
And the, yeah. there was a, the song was beautiful.
So it was Rise.
Rise Up.
Who was it again? Only thing is, it was used in the episode of Doctor Who called Rosa, which was about Rosa Parks.
Oh.
So Cody, once again, has solved racism.
He's finished the story.
He's solved racism as well.
It's all come full circle. You know?
Andra Day.
Yeah.
Rise Up by Andra Day. And Cody was, I think, surprised by
emotional,
this.
Yeah.
And so they have a little picture-in-picture briefly of Cody reacting to it, and you can see he's welling up, he's got tears running down his eyes because they do the picture-in-picture thing. But I don't know why it made me chuckle, because it's a really super serious video. But as they cut to the picture-in-picture, they keep the sound effect, they whoosh, and you see Cody crying with his lovely video. I was like, you could have just dropped the sound effect for that. I think it would have been fine. Watch it back, it's just like whoosh.
I find it very funny in the sense of, they obviously had the small stage, and Triple H makes reference to it. He goes, we usually have the big screen, but we don't have that today because there's so many of you here, so we've wheeled out some TVs.
Oh,
we've not got the Titantron.
We've not got the Titantron.
Like SummerSlam 96?
Yeah, so he wheeled out some TVs, and he brought one, there was one close to the ring for Cody to watch, but they also had ones pointing at the fans so that they could see it on tiny fucking TVs.
Amazing.
But it was like on a...
It's like a history class in 2005 class. When they got the big machine, the VHS, all that sort of shit.
Because they would have had like a big screen at the...
So
top,
that was up,
they?
Yeah, but for those around the ringside, that would hurt your neck.
Yeah.
So they had some around ringside.
What a fabulous problem to have. What a champagne problem to have. So you've sold so many tickets, you can't put a big screen
that
in.
That small set is so good, though.
It looks great.
I was going to say that small set looks so much better than the big TV. God.
I hope we keep selling out big arenas so they have to keep using the small set and we don't have to see the big Titantron.
It was the most attended Raw in 20 years, I think.
In history?
18,000?
I think there was one that's beat it that had an episode of Raw with 41,000. Somewhere, but that's the only one that's beat it.
Oh,
but they did announce it as the most attended Raw in history, but
it's not.
No,
it's lies.
But it is the second most attended.
Yeah,
and is the most attended of the 21st century.
There you go. More of them, please, because the more they sell out, the more we get the small set. Yeah. I love the small set.
But 20,000 for Raw is insane.
It's amazing. That's the Renaissance era, isn't it? Yeah.
And then it comes out that was the most... It was Raw's best ratings in 5 years for that Raw. So you went, fuck me, they are hot, aren't they?
So hot.
But yes, old Cody comes out, and then if you smell, Rock comes out again.
Surprise appearance by The Rock.
Yeah. Comes out. And they have a back and forth. They both hold each other's penises. That's not what happens, but yeah.
It's quite a polite bit of chatter before the penis holding.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you did it. And then he's like, hey, that's a nice belt that you've got there. Do you mind if I hold it?
And he's like, ooh.
And then Cody's like, as long as I can hold yours.
Yeah.
He's not asked about holding rocks, but I think he just wants a bit of collateral in case Rock tries something. And as they're doing this thing, the crowd are chanting, this is awkward.
Because they take ages passing through each other, don't they? Yeah. It's like when Kane and Daniel Bryan had to hug it out.
And it's complete, everything is planned and meticulous. That shot of Rock with the WWE title over his shoulder, which has been perfectly captured in the photo gallery on WWE.com. Either way, we're going.
Yeah. But then Rock, by this point, announced he's going to go away for a little while. He's going to do The Smashing Machine, the A24 movie. Mm. Then he's doing live-action Moana. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think basically straight after, or like there might be a little gap.
I think there's a little gap in the middle.
But he's gone for most of the year, essentially.
Till SummerSlam, at least.
Yeah. Doing all that good stuff. He's going to be Maui. And then The Rock pulls him in, Cody, in real close. He then hands him something. We don't know what he's handed him. Further speculated, it could be one of the beads.
Could be the one of it. Someone suggested a lighter because he set his truck on fire.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to smoke him at some point.
I'm going to smoke.
It could be a Rolex that he's handing him back, the watch.
Yeah.
But it needs to be something that they come back to.
Because there was a nice story about watches that was mentioned in the press conference afterwards.
Is it Cody bought them all?
So there's two stories. So Cody bought the main eventers all got watches. So he said he gifted Seth Rollins a Rolex for the main event. And he went, two other people have had that. I gifted them too. I won't reveal who they are. Roman was spotted wearing them at the Hall of Fame.
Wearing both of them.
Yeah. So you would assume the other one's The Rock, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one is the watch that you're referring to.
Going all the way back to that Waffle House.
Yeah, that was it. So in order to get wrestling training, Dusty Rhodes pawned one of his Rolexes.
For his acting training.
So for his acting training, he pawned one of his Rolexes. And Bruce Pritchard apparently went out, and I don't know whether he found the actual one or found a replica of the actual one.
The replica, yeah.
And gave that to Cody this weekend.
Imagine it was the same one that just like attracted that.
It would be hell of a trip, wouldn't it?
But it was...
That was a nice touch, though. I think that was a nice gift.
Yeah, because I think Cody then revealed that when... Years later, he asks his dad, going, oh, can I have the watch? And his dad goes, when you become WWE champion, you can. Or when you become world champion. But then he finds out years later, after you think he wins the Ring of Honor belt, he pawned it to try and get you for acting school. So like this big emotional thing, basically. But Cody's got that watch. There it is. He's been handed something by The Rock on Raw. We don't know what it is. We'll find out in months to come what it is. But then he basically says he told Cody to never break his heart again.
I think, and obviously the lighter is the thing I've seen a lot of people say. I think that's too...
It's too much.
I just think it's a bit of a shit pay. Like, hey, I burnt your bus. Because it's the whole thing, it's the handshake and the don't break my heart again. Whatever he's handed him is in connection to that. It could be he's heartbroken that he had to kick out Roman Reigns. It could be something that's way back in their past.
Yeah.
Where something happened between the two and it meant that the Maivia family were cast out by the Rhodes family or something. There's something like deeply embedded there.
It could simply be a duet of Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
It could be
that.
And Cody just goes, I couldn't if I tried.
What if Cody had opened his hand and just Brian leaked out?
Imagine. That's what it is. It's a tin of Prince's tuna. It's good. You save that for me. You wait till later. Because, I mean, they last 2 years. It'll still be a date by the time The Rock comes back.
That's what Rock said. Hey, that'll still be a date when I'm back. Be grateful.
Yesterday, Cody Rhodes at the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Man, you beat Roman Reigns right in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. However, less than 24 hours before that, The Rock beat you in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. So Cody Rhodes, your story with Roman Reigns is over and you did it. But our story has just begun.
What's since been reported by Dave Meltzer is, I thought they would have done this earlier, but the plan apparently for WrestleMania 41, so a year's time from now, is The Rock versus Cody Rhodes. We don't know if Cody will still be champ by then. He may have lost the belt, but the plan is singles match Rock versus Cody 41.
I think that we tell a bit more of the story before that, because Rock's very keen to say your story with Roman Reigns is over.
It's only just beginning.
The story with you and I has just begun.
Yeah,
and I reckon I'm gonna stick this in the nine pitches. Rock beats Cody at SummerSlam for the title.
Okay,
Cody wins it back at Mania 41.
So me and you, Fraser, had a similar idea.
Yeah,
right?
I think we both sort of agreed the idea of Cody winning a third Rumble in a row would be quite intriguing.
Yeah,
and that's how he gets to WrestleMania again and breaks the record, right?
Breaks the record. The record's two, but I think Austin's won three.
Austin won consecutive. Make Cody Rhodes the first man to win three consecutive Royal Rumbles. Go to face, as you said, The Rock, but we said he won it.
We said he'd win it at Saudi on the idea that
in November.
Rock's schedule, I think, takes him right up until like the 1st of August. I can't remember when SummerSlam is, but it's around that time. I mean, maybe like a week later.
I want to say it's like the 20th. Is it before?
I think it might be the 5th or the 6th or something.
Well, no, because haven't they got Bash in Berlin?
That's the end of the month.
Because we got All In Wembley at the end of August.
Yeah.
And then like, I think maybe a day later or a week later, they're doing a house show in Germany.
Right. August 3rd for SummerSlam.
August 3rd for SummerSlam. Yeah. Okay. So
hypothetically, putting it out there, Solo Sikoa wins Money in the Bank.
Oh.
Hands the briefcase to Dwayne when he returns and The Rock cashes in.
Oh, that's spicy.
Because he's the final boss. He demands Solo. Solo's touring about it.
He does a Christian.
But hands the briefcase to The Rock. The Rock cashes in. And once again, Solo has caused Cody's dream to come crumbling down. Mm.
Tasty.
And then
I like that.
Cody's got to win the Rumble.
Yes, but I think the main event will be probably The Rock versus Cody. I think the plan after that is then to do Rock Roman at like 42.
Incredible 3-year plan.
Triple H has said that the plans for Roman Reigns are, quote, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So there's something big cooking for him.
Well, they're 100% doing him and Seth from the looks of it, aren't they? From the teaser at Mania.
That seems...
Next year at WrestleMania would be class.
Yeah, like, I bet that's how you pay it off. You have, like... But I'd have it next Mania, I'd have Seth finally... Well, not finally beat him because he's been in before, but, like, Seth gets the big win.
Seth needs a win. Needs a win.
Yeah.
And you complain the fact... Do the John Cena thing where he lost to The Rock and he has the worst year of his life.
Yeah.
And that's Roman this year. And he has a really bad year. Loses to Seth. And then he beats The Rock a year later.
Mm.
That's for nice, the title, though. And then starts another 1,000-plus day reign.
At a WrestleMania 50, Roman Reigns.
What five-year arc that what arc would that be? With Cody returning at 38, Reigns unifying the belts, and eventually 5 years later faces The Rock.
That's a hell of a five-year story time.
Yeah.
Story plan, that is.
Wrestling's good, isn't
it? The story never ends.
But yeah, so but WWE have since released a thing saying the story continues. Or like, yes, it does. But just a little bit about... what we might get. He's still got the gold belt currently, but he's since said again he's going to try his best to get the Winged Eagle. We don't know what's going to happen there. It'll be up to Big Trips, I suppose.
I imagine post-draft they might make some decisions on that.
The belt.
Because sort of
they've got to do something about the Raw and SmackDown belts, right? Because, I mean, the tag titles even, because they look weird now because we've now got the Women's World title, the WWE Women's title.
They should go back to WWE and World Tag.
Yeah.
So they might, I mean, that might be where we go. That might be the plan, depending on... But they might draft the SmackDown champs to Raw and force the arm of that, like they did with the women's belts last year. But I think they'll make decisions on that post-draft. Because also currently as well, keep in mind that the world title and the WWE title are both held by Raw guys.
Yeah.
In theory. Yeah. So, because Cody was on Raw this week.
And Damian Priest is.
Like we said Raw. Earlier, I'm thinking Priest, Judgment Day go to SmackDown, as does... Drew.
You could ask, especially on the idea that Netflix will have Raw from January. So have your main belt on Netflix, keep your new partner happy. Yeah. A bit like basically why Roman was on SmackDown in 2019.
Yeah, you just move it to where the money people will be particularly happy.
And then you keep Fox happy because you go, we'll draft CM Punk there as well.
Yeah.
So SmackDown gets CM Punk.
It's a good shout.
Cody's on Raw.
Drew, all that sort of shit.
Keeps Cody and Punk away from each other for now.
Yeah. But what you get as well, though, is speaking of money, Cody Rhodes merchandise is so popular. I believe this was a record, but WWE moved over $1 million in merch just over WrestleMania weekend.
For just Cody merch.
Just Cody merch.
Insane.
Because they said it was something like they were their biggest money weekend was last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And this is 20% more than last year's. In terms of like every optic, they've smashed their own record.
They're just hot, aren't they?
Did you hear how much The Rock potentially made from WrestleMania?
No.
So
is this a stock thing? Or?
So yeah. So basically, after this press release about the record breaking WrestleMania, there was a TKO SEC statement that came out that said The Rock has been bequeathed 94,000 shares in TKO, which with the current stock price works out at just over $9 million.
Because that was the thing, isn't it? Like as
I've been selling that immediately. Insane, right? Give us the cash.
That's what we've heard, though, isn't it? So The Rock will, I think, eventually get $30 million altogether in stock. But it was on conditions that he had to meet. Basically, one of them was wrestling this year. Mm-hmm. So like, give me my money right now.
And
so,
he's in spades. He wrestled for 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. He's really earned it. Didn't do like 6 seconds.
I wonder if there was a part of time condition on that.
Yeah.
You must do. Maybe he realizes he can't have another match this year, and they've gone right. Do 2 matches worth of time in that one.
You got to do time and a half. time and a half on Saturday.
It's like Kurt Angle's where he gets 10 grand for 8 minutes when he was on the indies. Like, right, you get $1 million for every 9 minutes you do. Every 5 minutes you get $1 million.
So Rock stood there like hot dog in a grandstand for 9 minutes and went, that's $1 million.
Yeah. Roman, can you go another 20 minutes, Roman?
Yeah, I want to put another swimming pool in the garden. Yeah. Can we just put this headlock on for 10 minutes? Cheers, appreciate that. And with that, the story ends. The roads to WrestleMania have concluded. We've made it. The road to WrestleMania has wound up, and off we go into a wild new era. Call it the Paul Levesque era, the Renaissance era, the Triple H era, whatever you call it. It's a bloody exciting time.
Yeah.
And it just
is.
And the big reason why we're all here, Cody Rhodes finally did it. That Waffle House with his dada, where he went, you go, if you're going to be the best, if you're going to do it, make sure you're the best.
And now he is simply the best.
Better than all the rest. Better than anyone.
Better than anyone.
Anyone we've ever met.
Wow.
Can you take that?
And we've actually got a special guest, Mr. Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes, come on in.
Oh, he's too shy.
He's too busy chatting.
He's too shy.
Thank you for joining us on these roads to WrestleMania. We will be back with another special whenever and wherever it is required. He is at the Fraser Porter. He is at the Aiden Gibbons. I'm at Tom Campbell. And together, we're at Cultaholic. One more whoa for old time's sake. Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.